Welcome to the jungle, a tremendous Wednesday to you. My name is Jim Rome. We are live in the Quicken Loan Studios in Southern California. You want to apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Quicken Loans. All right, now, nice to have you here. Lots to get to, including an interview next segment, so do not waste time if you know what topic you want to hit. If you want to hit anything at all, you want to do it right now. Telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Start dialing 1-800-636-8686. It is a short week, and we've got a lot to get done between now and Friday, so don't waste time. Hit us up right now. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. In fact, it's a big Twitter day in sports. Lots going on in social media. Lots going on in Twitter. I'm going to be all over that momentarily. In the meantime, it's a good way to follow the program. It's a good way to interact with the program. It's the best way to participate with the program. Do it on Twitter. Make sure you follow me at Jim Rome. And if you tweet at the program, you get on the air quickly. Best tweets get retweeted. You're in my phone. There's a lot to like about it. Meantime, you can shoot me an email if that's the way you still roll. That's the way you still handle your business. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Three very good interviews today. Coming up in 15 minutes, I've got the senior VP of the New York Giants. He is also a part owner of Justify. Justify has won the first two legs of the Triple Crown and is looking to make it a sweep in the Belmont. Chris Mara is my guest. That's coming up in about 15 minutes. Coming up in hour number two, Buffalo Bills defensive tackle Kyle Williams. Hour number three, jungle favorite, Golden State Warriors GM Bob Myers is back for more. Golden State, Cleveland, the fourth edition. And we'll get his thoughts on that prior to the NBA Finals. Lots to get to. Today's one of those days where you don't need to hear my open. You don't need to wait on me. You should know what you want to talk about. You should get in right now. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. All right, starting with social. I mean, it is game one of the NBA Finals, tipping off tomorrow night. So obviously the biggest story in the NBA is the Cavs and the Warriors Part 4. Everybody thought it would be a trilogy, but it's back. Godfather 4, the greatest team of a generation against the greatest player of a generation. I mean, literally, that is all anybody is talking about right now in the association. Oh, excuse me, my bad. No, that's actually not the way it is. Just over 24 hours out from the start of the NBA Finals. And the biggest topic is not the NBA Finals. The biggest topic is burner accounts. Used to be all about burner phones. Burner accounts on Twitter, which is fantastic. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll lay it out for you. I mean, you're probably familiar with that notion of a burner account, right? If you have kids, I'm sure you're aware of the burner account notion. We found that out, right? Oh, I know, we're really active parents. We'll just monitor our kids' social accounts. Come to find out, they've got burner accounts too. I'm not saying my kids do. Hell, they might. Especially Logan, man, he's sneaky. He probably does have one. Anyway, the kids have burner accounts because they know the parents are going to monitor what they do, so they set up burner accounts. Meantime, if the kids are doing it, you have to imagine that it's happening on a much higher level, too, elsewhere. I'm not saying that's the case here. I am saying The Ringer posted a report yesterday that alleged that Philadelphia 76ers president of basketball ops, Brian Colangelo, appeared to have five burner accounts on Twitter. All right, that in of itself might be fine. Not that big of a deal. He wouldn't be the first team executive to have a burner account on Twitter, nor would he be the last if he has one or five. In fact, I would bet that nearly every single team executive has got a burner account. However, tweets from the alleged five, which were pointed out to The Ringer by an anonymous source, were not just used to monitor league business or even his own players. In fact, they weren't always so positive about his own players. Again, let me stop right there. I don't know who's responsible for the accounts. I'm just saying what was on the accounts. Furthermore, at times there were tweets that called Nerlens Noel a, quote, selfish punk. Talked about Markelle Fultz's shooting struggles and attempted to advance a theory that Jahlil Okafor's trade did not go through because he failed a physical. The same accounts also took shots at Masai Ujiri and Sam Hinkie. Oh, and questioned Joel Embiid's ego. Uh-oh! That's not good. That's not good at all. Now, that would be so crazy, so insane, and so weird that it's almost too weird to be true, right? What NBA executive, let alone a two-time NBA Executive of the Year, would be on Twitter firing off tweets from burner accounts that crush his own players? Weird. Really weird. Story's crazy. However, that's not all. It went up another notch when Joel Embiid got involved, because my man Joel took to Twitter to respond. First, there was this, a tweet which read simply, "Bruh," with a picture of himself from back in the day. Then there's this tweet, directed at, it's incredible, directed at one of the alleged Colangelo burner accounts. Quote, "Joel told me that at Sam Hinkie is better and smarter than you. At AlVic40117560, hashtag burner account." I mean, holy crap. Joel is the greatest. A joke tweet about Sam Hinkie directed at a Colangelo burner account. I've said it before, I'll say it again right now. Joel Embiid has got the potential to be one of the greatest ever in NBA history. But he's already the greatest ever in social media history. This guy's fearless, he's got an amazing sense of humor, and he's got the best timing ever. He then chased that with a tweet to Drake, which read, quote, "I'm upset." And at this point, the story was a virus, and it was spreading quickly. CJ McCollum came sprinting in to tweet at Joe. Quote, "Are you saying you're no longer happy in Philly?" To which Joe responded, and I quote, "LMAO, CJ, you just got to trust it." NBA Twitter is the best. Absolutely the best. There's nothing like it. But then Joe concluded his night with this, and I quote, "Fun night on Twitter, LMAO, all jokes aside, I don't believe the story. That would just be insane." You know, it would be. It'd be completely insane. Embiid also told Woj, quote, "I talked to him. He said that he didn't say that. He called me just to deny the story. Gotta believe him until proven otherwise. If true, though, that would be really bad." End quote. What, if you're a president of basketball ops, had 5 burner accounts, and was anonymously killing the players, would that be bad? Well, that'd be incredibly bad. And here's where it gets awkward. Woj also tweeted, quote, "Maybe there's an IT person who can prove it wasn't Brian Colangelo, but here's one of his biggest problems in disputing Ringer story. Those tweets reflected not only private team biz, but launched personal beefs, jealousies, frustrations that he has shared inside and outside 76ers. And then one more thing he followed it with. Nevertheless, Colangelo is denying he is responsible for those tweets, and many league executives seem to believe him. It's hard to fathom a GM risking his job in such a reckless manner. Many are giving him the benefit of the doubt on that level alone. It just doesn't add up." End quote. So true, right? It doesn't add up. It makes no sense at all. Why would a guy like that, a two-time executive of the year, risk everything on something like that? Colangelo issued a statement using where he acknowledged that he uses one of the alleged accounts to, quote, "monitor our industry and other current events," but denied posting, quote, "anything whatsoever." Quote, "I am not familiar with any of the other accounts that have been brought to my attention, nor do I know who is behind them and what their motives may be in using them." End quote. And then the team issued a statement as well, and on and on and on we go. Look, if the story ends here, it's weird, it's bizarre, but I'm guessing there might be another plot twist or 5. Listen, bottom line, I don't know if this guy did this or not, but if somebody else did this to him, all right, if Colangelo did not do this and somebody else did this to him, they're working awfully hard to make it look like it was him. I'm not saying he did. I'm not saying he didn't do it. I have no idea. There will be an investigation, but if somebody did do this to this guy, that's a deep, deep dive and a deep level of hatred towards one guy. I mean, my man really got on the wrong side of somebody who really has a lot of time on their hands if Colangelo is not responsible for this. And I got to say, on the other side, if you think that a story of an NBA executive who just watched his team take a giant step and be one of the best stories in the NBA, getting caught with 5 burner accounts sounds too ridiculous to be true, it does. But then again, if you think something like that couldn't happen, take a look around. It's 2018. There are a lot of ridiculous things, too ridiculous to be true, that are happening, and only in basketball. I don't know, like Nick Young is in the finals. J.R. Smith threw a bowl of soup at a coach. The Clippers and Rockets had a secret Staples tunnel fight. And remember Eric Bledsoe and the hair salon? That was this season, too. Kendrick Perkins and Drake nearly giving each other the hands? That was a few weeks back. I'm telling you, if the NBA had a one shining moment montage, it would last 90 minutes, and it would blow right by any of the best movies you've ever seen. Casablanca, Citizen Kane. And it wouldn't even need to include any on-court action. I'm telling you, I've got no idea if Colangelo is responsible for these burner accounts or not, but I can't wait to find out. Philly fan, what do you think happened here? I mean, do you really think a guy like that, with that kind of pedigree, that accomplished, a 2-time executive of the year, would take the time to set up 5 burner accounts? Not one. Not one to monitor what's going on around the league, but 5 to defend himself and kill his own players and kill other people and defend his collars on his shirts? I mean, really? Philly fan, what do you think? And even if you don't give a damn about the Sixers, what do you think happened here? Is that plausible to you? Time for me to update my take on Twitter. I used to just say, don't tweet angry, don't tweet drunk. I don't know, don't tweet at all, unless you're tweeting at me. Let's go to the email. First email through. Hey, Twitter, what's popping? Yours, Brian C. You might as well just tag that first. Dear Jim, we truly believe that you should have Brian Colangelo on your show today to explain his side of the story. He is an extremely honorable man and a true credit to the 76ers organization. Sincerely, @notBrianColangelo01 through @notBrianColangelo946867. Signed, @notDenlusks. I want to say, I have no idea. I have no idea. I'm not saying I think he did. I'm not saying I think he didn't. I'm saying it would be extremely bizarre. But we've seen a lot of extremely bizarre things in the NBA, and we've seen them in the last few weeks, and we've seen them this year. And we know some really, really weird things go online all the time. Who knows? I'm not saying I do or I don't believe. I'm not saying I know. I'm saying I want to know. It's going to be pretty interesting. And one more email before I go to break. Dear Jumpman, I'll come clean. @Denlesks, @TheMianoPan, @SoCalJeff are all my burner accounts, and I'll be resigning effective immediately. Yours, Lil Alvey. War medieval times. As good as game one was, with 4 lead changes, I would watch a full 2.5 hours of the Golden Knights pregame on ice production. Signed, Harry in Jersey City. I wouldn't go that far, Harry, but I agree with you. Pregame's awesome. All you so-called purists, NHL traditionalists, man, give it a rest. It's awesome. It can be about both things. It's not one or the other. It's Vegas. They're on the strip. They're there to give you a show. And by the way, it worked. They won game one. And again, I have no idea if Brian Colangelo had those burner accounts or not. He said he had one and isn't sure about the other 4. I'm just saying, the whole thing is weird. When we come back, Chris Mara, Senior VP of the New York Giants, joins us. He's also a part owner of Justify. That's next. Kyle Williams next hour. Zypa is spelled Z-Y-P-P-A-H. It's Happy Z spelled backwards. If you go to bed with a Zypa, you wake up with Happy Z's. Did you know that one night of bad sleep can ruin your entire day? Are you planning a summer vacation? You don't want to ruin that entire vacation with snoring all night long. Vacations are supposed to be a time for rest and relaxation. How are you going to get any rest if they're snoring all night long, either from you or somebody next to you? You need to get a Zypa before you take your vacation. Snoring is not sleeping. So if you or somebody you know snores, go to Zypa.com. Zepa is guaranteed to stop snoring. You have nothing to lose. If you're not happy for any reason, return it for a full refund. Snoring is rude. It is disrespectful. It is offensive. It can ruin your entire vacation. Don't let that happen. Get your Zepa today by going to Zepa.com. Use promo code Rome for free shipping and ensure that you have a great summer. Go to Zepa.com. That's Zepa.com.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. Jim Rome with you on this Wednesday. Big, big day, as I mentioned. Buffalo Bills defensive tackle Kyle Williams coming up next hour. Golden State Warriors general manager Bob Myers coming up in hour number three. But as promised, we are joined right now by the senior VP of player evaluation for the New York Giants. He is part of four Super Bowl wins with the Giants and part of the ownership group of Justify, who is the winner of the first two legs of the Triple Crown. You've got the Belmont Stakes coming up on June 9th. It will be the 150th running of that race, and we've got another possible Triple Crown winner on our hands. We are joined right now by Chris Mara. Chris, it is so good to have you on the show. Good morning. How are you?
Thanks, Jim, for having me. I appreciate it.
Chris, great to have you. Now, you, my friend, are in rarefied air, a position that very few have been in when it comes to horse racing. We're about a week and a half out from the Belmont. How would you describe your mood right now? For instance, is it pure excitement? Is it nerves? Or is it something else?
You know, it's a little bit of nerves. It's also a lot of curiosity and what the field is actually going to look like. You know, the horse worked out yesterday morning and looked terrific. So I'm pretty confident in all that. There's not a lot I can do about it, I can tell you that, because I don't really have much say in what's going on with the horse. I just have to make sure the check clears.
Yeah, Chris, that's really funny. I mean, you and I are having a conversation where I know exactly what you're talking about. As the owners, I think people have no idea how little control we have. And people like you and I and everybody in the business, don't we just wake up every single day and think, no news is good news. As long as I don't get that telephone call, I'm going to assume everything's all right and that's a good day.
That's absolutely correct. You know, my first year in this with Starlight, you know, we had a horse in Intense Holiday who ended up going to the Derby, and I'll never forget those 2 weeks before that. You know, we were doing draft preparations here, and I wake up in the middle of the night just waiting for either a phone call or a text or an email saying, oh, the horse is not doing well, blah, 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 and it was really nerve-wracking.
It's so true. Chris Mara, my guest, because they don't call to tell you everything's great. They only call if there's a problem. So we all kind of learn that as long as they don't call, that's a good thing. You know, everybody, and I want to talk to you about Justify, but everybody involved in horse racing has got a story about the moment they were hooked by the sport. What's yours?
I was 10 years old, and my dad, mom and dad took me to Belmont Park Saturday before a giant home game at Yankee Stadium, which I believe we got blown out in. But back then that happened a lot, and I was kind of hooked then. And then I just followed the sport right through, you know, high school and college. And, you know, I parked cars at Yonkers Raceway when I was younger. Was fortunate enough to go see Seattle Slough in 77 win the Triple Crown, and then affirmed the year after. And then 3 years ago, American Pharoah. So I was just hooked on the sport right from the beginning.
You know, it's really interesting, Chris, because you've been around the game your entire life. You've been in professional sports most of your life. But while you were a fan of the sport, you weren't really, really all in as an owner until just a few years ago when you met Jack Wolf of Starlight Partners. What made you finally decide to get more involved and take that big plunge?
Well, we had just come off a Super Bowl win. My daughter, Rooney, had just been nominated for an Academy Award. And I felt pretty lucky. And so I said to my wife, you know, this might be the time where I start to get involved in I'd been involved in some other ownership groups prior to this, but nothing to this level. This is a very, you know, expensive hobby, as I call it. And so we took the plunge, and it's been 7 years, and they've been all great years. It's not like they're all profitable or anything, but we have so much fun doing it. And this year, it's really paid off.
No, it's true, right? When it's good, it's great. When it's not, it's not. And it's a very, very expensive hobby. In fact, that's how I got in. Chris, my wife said, you need a hobby. You need a hobby. And she talked me into getting into this. And then finally, a few years later, she's like, I didn't say that expensive a hobby, but you needed a hobby. You know, you mentioned Jack Wolf. What's interesting to me is when you started to talk to him, he didn't say to you, we'd love to have you. Come on in. What he said to you was, why? What do you have to bring to the group? What was your response to that?
Yeah. That's exactly right. This isn't a group for everyone, but yeah, I sat down and talked to Jack, and He asked me what I would bring to the group. I said, well, we just won a Super Bowl, and my daughter's been very successful. I feel pretty lucky, so maybe I'll bring a little luck to the group. And so he sat there and had a Tito's or two with me and said, you're in. And then I went with Donna Brothers, who's part of our racing group, and went to the sales at Saratoga. And from that point on, I've been involved.
Chris, is that your poison of choice at the track, Tito's?
Yes, it is.
Not bad. Not bad at all. Chris Mira joining us. You need something to take the edge off the track. You know, you've said that you've been around the sport long enough that you can now tell a good horse from a bad horse. When you first saw Justify, what did you think of him?
Well, we got involved in this right after Justify had won his maiden race back in February. And then, like about a week later, you know, the ownership group bought a piece of both Justify and Audible, who finished third in the Derby. And then Justify happened to run his second race on my birthday, March 11th. And I sat there and kind of in awe and watched him win by 9 or 10 lengths and said, wow, we might have something here. So that's kind of when I figured it out.
We're talking to Chris Mira. You know, you've been a part of the 4 Super Bowl wins that I talked about with the Giants. The last two came in dramatic fashion, especially. You had the David Tyree catch, the Plaxico Burress catch. But is there any way to compare? And people always want you to do this. They're totally different. But how do you compare the emotions of winning a Super Bowl with the emotion of seeing Justify coming down the stretch in the Derby, knowing you're going to win that race?
Well, you know, my situation is a lot different. Obviously, you know, being an owner of the team and an employee is part of the process of putting the team together. You know, there's certainly a lot of satisfaction when the team wins a Super Bowl or is successful, you know, on a day-to-day basis. And on the other hand, there's also a sense of disappointment when we're, you know, as lousy as we were last year. You take share of that responsibility. You know, with the horse racing, it's just great to be in a winner's circle. You know, I have absolutely no say in what the day-to-day business of it is. I leave that totally up to Hall of Fame trainer and jockey and Mike Smith. But the feeling, it's very exhilarating. I mean, especially with the Kentucky Derby. You know, I've been going to the Derby for a long time now and just never pictured myself in the winner's circle. Between that and the Preakness, it's been a great ride, and hopefully we got one more left in us.
Yeah, Chris, I'll ask you about the Belmont in 1 second, but you mentioned Mike Smith. He's a guy that I've got immense respect for. He won us a couple of Breeders' Cup races. He had a number of other grade one wins for us with Share Belief. I mean, I love the guy. Can you talk about the relationship he has with your horse and how the two of them together have handled everything so far?
Well, all I can tell you is they look great together. Those two races were pretty incredible. To think that this horse, you know, broke his maiden, you know, February 18th, and now is running for the Triple Crown. I think people in the business, you know, yourself included. I mean, this is a historic thing, and I think it'll all come out maybe next week, right before the race starts, when people kind of sit down, and I don't think the buzz is that high right now. I mean, we just had a Triple Crown winner 3 years ago, but I think by next week the buzz will get a little bit bigger.
Chris, I don't think people outside the business understand how astonishing that it is that you're even in this position, not only for a horse. I mean, these are three such demanding races. To even run in all three, regardless of where you finish, is a huge ask. To win all three is just astonishing to me, and especially for a horse that didn't even run as a two-year-old. It's amazing that Justify's in this position. So now you go to Belmont Park. You've got a chance to win the Triple Crown. Knowing what that track means to you in terms of your connection to the sport, what's it feel like for you to be in this position even?
Well, it feels great. I've never been in the position before, but, you know, I've certainly been a part of all those Super Bowls. So, I'm a little used to that type of the spotlight, at least, and having those nerves flowing in me. But this will be a great day. It's great for horse racing. It's great for the New York Racing Association to have, you know, 90,000 people show up. It kind of makes our year as far as that goes. I just hope it's a great show.
So finally, Chris, how do you feel about him at a mile and a half on Big Sandy? Once again, a really big ask.
Well, it's a big ask, but, you know, the funny thing is this horse has basically won his last two races in 15 inches of rain between the Derby and the Preakness. And I don't even know if we've seen the best of the horse yet, because it really hasn't run on a dry track like that until it's, you know, back in its maiden voyage, because everything else has been on a wet track.
We showed up big at the Preakness. Isn't it funny, Chris? The best ones, they don't care, I don't think. They can run on anything, over anything, through anything. The best ones just go.
That's exactly right. It's the same as a really good football player, a good wide receiver, good running back. They can play in any conditions.
And non-race fans love this. Before I let you go, what's a good comparison? When you look at Justify, is there an NFLer that horse reminds you of?
Well, I'm hoping it's Saquon Barkley, our first-round pick.
There you go. There you go. Senior VP of player evaluation for the New York Giants, and you've got the Belmont running on June 9th, the 150th running, and we're looking at a possible triple crown once again. Chris, great to have you on the show. It's an amazing spot to be in. Good luck. I hope you get it.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Chris Mara joining us. All right, Chris, thank you. It's an amazing horse. An amazing horse with one of the best jockeys to ever do it. I'm going to argue the best jockey to ever do it, but I'm a big Mike Smith guy, as you know. 1-800-636-8686, your thoughts, your reaction. He said, of course I'm going to compare that horse to Saquon Barkley. That's true, too. You see that. Kind of knew the answer to that question. Both studs. Kyle Williams coming up next hour. Bob Myers coming up in hour number three. I spent the entire open on this notion of NBA burner accounts. So let me ask you, do you think that Brian Colangelo would do that? And if he didn't do it, was there somebody looking to jam him hard? Who did it? Or, if that's not the case, is there maybe somebody who had his back that did it? Did he have knowledge? Did he not have knowledge? Could something like that really go down? And if that's the case, did anybody really think they were going to get away with that? Analytics being what they are? Man, weird story. I don't know. I don't know. I just know that I want to know. All right, all of that still ahead. And your telephone calls. Listen, you're running out of time. It is smack off season. It is Hall of Fame season. It is podcast season. Lots of things to get to. All of that still ahead. NBA Finals getting underway tomorrow night. Time now for a sports update, though. Here's the very latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Got a big golf weekend. Tiger's back. He joins many of the world's best, including Dustin Johnson, Jason Day, Ricky Fowler, Rory McIlroy, and Justin Thomas, as Jack Nicklaus hosts the Memorial Tournament presented by Nationwide. It is this weekend on CBS. You know, I've often said that I would never really trade places with anybody, even if I could. Like, my life worked out great. And I have no idea how it worked out as well as it did. So I would never, ever trade places. Like, I'm really grateful for what I have and how things are. But, if I were to trade places with one person, it might be Chris Mara. My man's got a life now. 4 Super Bowl rings. Back-to-back Triple Crown wins. His offspring are Hollywood stars. My man's got a good life. He is living the best life. And deserves it. And earned it. So, no, I would never trade places with anybody except maybe that guy. He's got the two things I want. The Lombardi and Triple Crown wins. And an amazing horse. Yet, you truly have to understand how much money is spent, how many hours are spent, how many of the best minds in the business are looking for that horse. I mean, there are tens of thousands of thoroughbred horses that are born every single year. And not every single year is a horse like that born. In fact, almost never. We're talking about a Triple Crown winner potentially. So everybody, year after year, decade after decade, generation after generation, you're looking for that horse. And even if you find that horse, it doesn't mean, no matter how much money you have, it does not mean that you can buy into that horse. So this guy is on a rocket right now. It's a really unusual thing. I will say, as somebody who also has ownership shares, he did say one thing that I thought was very interesting that a lot of people outside the game will never understand. People I talk to do not understand. He just said it himself. This guy's the senior VP of the New York Giants. Multiple Super Bowl rings, a couple of Triple Crown wins. And he just said himself, as an owner, I have really no control whatsoever. All I do is scratch the check and wait for it to clear. And it really is true. I mean, it's not any kind of comment. It's not negative. It's not positive. It just is what it is. People do not understand this. As people who invest in racehorses, we have almost no say in anything because, number one, we don't know that much. And number two, the trainers kind of run the thing. and they're experts. It's almost like you have a football team, right? Bill Belichick coaches that football team. You stay the hell out of the way of Bill Belichick. What, is an owner going to go down and tell Bill Belichick what to do with his defense or his offense or personnel? Not if he's smart, he won't. So I've dealt with Hall of Fame trainers, and they decide where to run the horse. They decide who the jockey is going to be. They decide when to run the horse, what surface, what distance. You know, they set up the entire campaign. They run the offense. They run the defense. They call the shots. And a lot of people have trouble understanding that. Like, I was going to tell Jerry Hollendorfer what to do with shared belief. Hell no. We just kind of hope that the phone doesn't ring. No news is good news. So I know exactly what he's talking about. And when you're an owner and you have no control, man, that clock spins very, very slowly leading up to races. And the big topic of hour number one is Brian Colangelo maybe having several burner accounts. Does he or doesn't he? Y'all seem to have a take. At JEdgel519 tweets, "Dear Jim, what's wrong with Colangelo having multiple Twitter aliases? Signed, J. Stu and Rex in the ABQ."
Without the nicks and cuts of a blade.
And Mac Destin, "Jim, what the hell was Sixers president Brian Colangelo doing? Signed, Manti Te'o's girlfriend."
"Hey, babe, I'm just calling to say goodnight."
The difference there is we understand catfishing now. We understand burner accounts. We understand all these things now. The time of that story, we weren't really all that familiar. I know I wasn't. I got to admit, I was chasing a bit because I was a guy who was caught up. I was a guy that put Manti on this show. I was a guy that let Manti tell a story. I was a guy that ended that story by saying, man, that is incredible. I don't know that I've ever talked to a college athlete like that guy. I got catfished. Well, not as badly as Manti did.
"I love you. I know that you're probably doing homework or you're with the boys."
"At least I didn't think that she was the love of my life."
"Or grabbing me.
What a fatty." There will never be a story like that. Given the magnitude of that con, given the magnitude of that catfish, given how when that went down, and a lot of people still were not familiar that that type of thing went down, no, you can't compare anything to that. There's nothing that compares to that long con. That he carried that thing on as long as he did, and that somewhere along the way, Manti didn't figure out, you know what, maybe this is not the real deal. Every time we go to meet, something happens and she won't meet me. I don't know. But yeah, we all got hooked, right? That was one giant catfish hook, man. We all got hooked, like, ah. Thanks for that ride, my man. Joe Hill 13 tweets, "I will vote for you for the Hall of Fame from all five of my burner accounts if I get a retweet and a shout out on the show." Simple as that, my man. Hashtag vote Rome. You cannot vote from five Twitter accounts. I will tell you soon how to vote. The voting starts on Monday. So we're getting close. At Jason Banicki tweets, "It wasn't Brian Colangelo. There was a second tweeter on the grassy knoll." Maybe. Maybe. I don't know who set those accounts up. I don't know if it was him. I don't know if it was somebody who had his back or if it was somebody who didn't like him. They existed. We're trying to figure it out. We have to wait for the investigation. Rome, "Why would you still think that Brian Colangelo ran those burner accounts? Did you not hear him when he had denied all association with those accounts? What else do you need?" Signed, Rafi Palmero.
"I have never used steroids, period. I do not know how to say it any more clearly than that. Never. The reference to me in Mr. Canseco's book is absolutely
true.
False."
Tyler and Charlotte, that's why I don't really believe people when they insist. Man, that dude couldn't have been any more emphatic. The full finger wag, looking at everybody. Absolutely
period.
True. And at Sean Beasy tweets, "Yesterday you said it was 52 days until the smack off. Using Hawk's simple math, how many days until the smack off now?"
"The simple math says that's 50 hours on hold."
Hawk, there is no simple math for you. You know that. Now, for those of you who did not hear it yesterday at the end of the program, we did unveil the world premiere of Alvin's 2018 Smack Off promo.
And Jimmy, this call is about to go so old school. By the end, you're going to swear your studio is haunted by the souls of Smackers past.
Yeah, you loser.
Fat, puffy, human cattle.
Think about that, Jim. That's got to be the stupidest thing anyone has ever said.
My fellow competitors, Chael, Mike, Vic, Steve, Cam. Is there a Cam? I don't know.
Smack Off 24 is July 20th, where the best of the best go at it for the right to be king of smack. And if you win, you get $5,000 cash.
Everybody in the goddamn jungle knows who I am and what
this
I...
This con man would waterboard his own mother if there was a buck to be made.
You are entering a lion's den full of the biggest haters on the planet.
Most of you I've chewed up like a dead hooker in a wood chipper.
It's still called the Smack Off, not the heartwarming moment off.
Invite only. You have to qualify.
You at the party, Dan Smack.
And for the first time ever, we're going to put it on TV.
14 the others.
$5,000 to the winner. Nothing for second place.
Calm down. That's enough.
And I'm coming for all the legends.
It doesn't matter what you think.
But these days, I'm also known as every host's dream.
It's host's dream, you loser.
You can call me and tell me to my face. 780.
Sometimes I get goosebumps thinking about how great I am.
Shut up.
Tell me how my rash stays.
I am here, Jim, to make the Smack Off great again.
Time for me to die.
I don't know what you and the Bud Light Brigade have in store, but you ain't winning the damn thing.
Legends never die, Romy.
Hey, what a bet, punk?
All right, so a few quick questions. Obviously, what is the defending champ going to do? We've seen what Leff has done the last 3 years. What does he have in store this year? I've got no idea. He's playing it very, very close to the vest, like he generally does. Number two, listening to that promo. Question two and three are tied together. Where the hell is Vic? Where the hell is Mike? Mike and Indy. This guy has not come around in a long, long, long time. I do not remember Mike and Indy's last call. Where is Mike in Indy? What's his deal? Is he laying low? Is he setting something up? Or is he not coming around this year? Mike in Indy is one of the greatest callers in the history of sports talk radio. Not just this show. In the history of the format. Where is Mikey? Creme de la creme. Mikey, where are you? Vic, I know you're coming around. Where are you, Vic? What are you waiting on? I know you're not going to hit me up with an RSVP 51 days out. That's not your deal. You usually wait until the week of, or the day before. How about you touch base? How about you touch base and let us know you're still around? Where are Mike and Vic? Hell, Jeff in Richmond came out of the woodwork. Even he RSVP'd. The Smack Off is July 20th. You need to be in it to win it. It's invite only. It's on TV for the first time ever. Make sure you get that day off. Email reads, to whom am I tweeting with? Yours, at Marie.
Who am I speaking to?
Jim Rome, Esquire.
Jim, I just wanted to call and tell you that I love your show.
I have no idea who you are, but I love your show. I love Marie. I wonder if Marie was just watching TV one day and said, it's a dashing young man. It's a dashing young man. That whippersnapper, boy, he's funny. So I gave her a golden ticket because I got so caught up in Marie, and she was charming and lovely and nice. And then the novelty started to wear off, and then she got choppered. I took her to the chopper, and I ripped the ticket back. When I gave her the ticket, a few of you said, hey, Rome, you handled that well. You handled that very nicely. And then when I took the ticket back, almost all of you said, now that's how you handle that, Rome. That's what you do. Snatch a lottery ticket or a golden ticket from an 88-year-old woman's hand. Well played, Rome. Actually, Alvy jumped in. That was signed yours at Marie and literally everyone else tweeting at Colangelo. Paul in Detroit. This email says, hey, Brian Colangelo, five words for you. I found out about you. Signed, the Gin Blossoms. Man, I'm a sucker for 90s alt rock. You know that. I'm a sucker for 90s alt rock with a band that has the word or name gin in it. As far as I'm concerned, they're my top five favorite bands ever. Just on their name alone. Mike in Buffalo, wore multiple Jukebox Fridays as a radio HOF demand. All right, put that in, Hawk. Second hour's coming up. Don't go anywhere. 1-800-636-8686. Kyle Williams next hour. We're coming right back.